Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich with Rich Baum Photography, Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz from New York.
We want to welcome you to this week's episode of Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast, if you haven't already figured out what we are. So I just want to start off by saying, Brian, welcome to 2019. How's your year going? How was Christmas and everything good?
Good. It was all good. The Long Island Jew in me definitely did not celebrate Christmas, but holidays out here were great, and it's definitely cold. I'm a little under the weather, but that happens usually around this time of year when there's change in New York. So,
kitties okay? Kitties enjoying Christmas? The 1 year old and
yeah, they got a ton of Hanukkah gifts. So, yeah, awesome. He turned one a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So, for any of our listeners, I remember when we first started this podcast, I think he was like 3 or 4 weeks old. So.
And I keep telling Brian, he doesn't even know he's a person yet. So
yeah, that's true.
But, and my kids are doing great. And we had a great, great trip to Mexico and everything's good. And I'm really, really excited for 2019. I've got some personal goals dealing with social media, just doing Instagram more and some other things. And, you know, our website's going really well and things are going great. So I am super stoked for
I've noticed that with Instagram. You've been all over it lately.
I am. I got Matthew Stallone, man. He got me going and I don't know what it's going to do. I still don't even know if it's, you know, I get a lot of people going, oh, I love, you know, a lot of kisses, but I don't know if it's going to help, but you know, it couldn't hurt and it's kind of fun. Just
exactly.
Something to spend more time.
It only helps.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So what do we have this week? What are we doing this week, Brian?
So we got a fantastic interview. I met this person back when we did our Photo Plus episode. I guess it was back in October. So a couple months ago already. And I spoke to him on one of those quick flash interviews I did. And I've been using his product for a couple years now since they launched. And we'll get into it. But first, I'd like to introduce Andy Hayes, who's the community manager for Palette Gear. Welcome, Andy. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Brian and Rich, for having me on. Really, really appreciate you bringing me to your podcast.
Well, thanks for coming. So I know for people that are not familiar, I first purchased your product, I guess it was 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. You'd be able to tell me better, but it was when you guys first launched on Kickstarter.
Yeah, about 2015.
What year was that? Okay, so a little over 3 years ago. And essentially what you do is you make, I guess you call them modules, is that correct?
You got it. So what we do is we make a completely modular and freeform hardware controller. So imagine like a mixing board, if you will, for Lightroom, Photoshop, or other creative editing apps, and you snap it together piece by piece magnetically.
Cool. And what's cool about your modules that you sell, I mean, I know you sell kits, but I think you also sell individual pieces, and there are tons of different varieties where there's sliders, there's buttons, there's dials. So you can kind of configure a setup based exactly on the workflow you're looking for.
That's exactly right. And as your needs change, you can reconfigure it, you can add on, you can subtract. You know, it's not like where if you buy a camera and you under or over buy, you have what you have until your next purchase. With Palette, you kind of, it's more fluid. It can grow with you, or you can just take kind of a very minimal trip, or sorry, minimal kit on the road if you're going on a trip, for example.
Cool. Well, let me take a step back a little bit before we actually talk about all these features and different options. And explain to our listeners how the whole concept even came about and how it got started and the history of Palette, so they have a better understanding of what your goal is to achieve with this product.
Absolutely. And that's a great question. So Palette was created out of, you know, it's part of the answer for a wider question of if we had to design the ultimate creative editing console, what would the input device for that look like? Because if we were designing it from the ground up, you know, we probably wouldn't come to the keyboard and the mouse as the perfect editing solution for photos or video, music, anything for that matter. You know, the keyboard is a text input device. So our CEO and founder, his name's Kelvin Chu, and he first conceived this idea when he was still at University of Waterloo, which is kind of similar to MIT in Canada. It's very well renowned in the science and tech. But he, you know, he looked at what musicians have, what, you know, high-end like video and broadcasters have, and frankly, at the time, what photographers didn't. So, you know, we looked at photography as a great industry to get this started with, because photographers have these diverse needs and diverse workflows. And, you know, keyboard and mouse, it's good, but it's not great. It's not amazing. And so we wanted to make the amazing.
Is this device supposed to replace a mouse or a keyboard, or is it supposed to work in unison with a mouse or a keyboard?
Certainly at this point, it's meant to work in tandem with them and complement them. I would say that the 80-20 rule applies. You know, 20% of the things in Lightroom or Photoshop, you use 80% of the time. So you take those handful of really crucial functions and you assign them to the buttons, dials, and sliders on palette, which allows you to take advantage of, you know, muscle memory. You can, for example, adjust two things at once. You can adjust them more precisely with the keyboard and mouse, and you get those advantages there. And then for everything else, you have your keyboard and mouse to fall back on.
Cool. And I know your device is compatible with Lightroom and Photoshop, among other softwares that might not be definitely for photographers as well. I correct me if I'm wrong. I saw in the last day or two that you're now Capture One compatible also.
You got it. That was actually an announcement. Yeah. Early December. So we just started working with full integration for Capture One 11 and later on the macOS platform. And that was huge for us because we see that, you know, a lot of people are kind of moving towards Capture One, especially the Sony and the Fuji users that get it for free.
Mm-hmm. And I know there are listeners that also do real estate video. You're also Premiere compatible as well, correct?
That's correct. I would say that our three most popular integrations, all three are Adobe at the moment. They would be Lightroom Classic, Photoshop CC, and Premiere Pro CC. And then, as you can imagine, Capture One is catching up very quick as well.
So just to let, I guess, our listeners know, these modules are like little, I guess they're 2x2 inch, something like that, little metal squares, or I guess rectangles, and they're magnetic. So they just snap into each other. And from there, you can just take dials and sliders and buttons and kind of configure whatever you want, depending on your workflow. And I guess there's one module that obviously is wired to your computer via USB, I'm assuming. And that's how it works. It's that easy, right? And you have a software on your desktop that controls everything, that you go in and customize everything?
Exactly. So Palette App allows you to assign exactly what each button, dial, or slider does in each application. And not only that, but you can save those groups of settings. We call them profiles. So you can share them with other folks. Say, for example, you make a really great preset that works for editing in Lightroom for, you know, real estate photography, for example. You can share it with other real estate photographers, and they can use that with their palette kits. And so there's a community aspect to it, and there's a sort of multifunctional aspect to it like that.
And is this wireless attached?
It's wired over a single USB, and it's self-powered over USB.
So they are each little cube is connected to the other one, and that transfers not only magnetic to keep them together, but transfers the information to a single master one, and that has a cable that goes into the computer?
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Okay. Our core module acts as the brain of the unit, if you will.
Oh, I see.
It accepts the input from each of the buttons, dials, sliders, and then translates it into something that the computer can use. You know, goes through Palette App, and you assign everything so that it actually tells Lightroom, tells Photoshop what to adjust. Mm-hmm.
And you've got down here, cuts your editing time by 30% with fast, precise, hands-on control. And I am very excited about that, because I know that there is a better way to do everything I'm doing, and with shortcuts and things. And I think this would fall right in line. So awesome.
Absolutely. I'll tell you how we arrived at that figure too, is, you know, since Kickstarter, we've had Palette in the hands of so many amazing creatives, especially so many of them being photographers using Lightroom and Photoshop. And if anything, 30% is conservative. We hear very often from creatives with very repetitive, high volume workflows that they're getting over double the efficiency.
Mm-hmm. And what genre would that be in, the highest You know, what kind of photography would you see people getting the fastest returns on, the most time save with? Would that be culling in weddings or sports, or what would you say?
You nailed it. Yeah. Weddings, sports, mm-hmm. you know, event coverage, even situations like, for example, portrait studios or e-commerce, where they're pumping out just an absolutely massive amount of images. Now, you know, even areas where it's more careful and considered work, but still a very constant kind of flow of images coming in, you know, you'll always see those efficiency gains because the main thing is building muscle memory. If mm-hmm. you're editing often enough to build muscle memory, you're just going to absolutely fly with this.
Yeah, so you don't have to look down at the piece. Now, do you have any options to put some kind of label so learning will be a visual to know what is what? Or is that just kind of something you figure out?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple ways that you can remember what each module does. The most fundamental of them is each module has an LED ring around the outside that can be changed to one of 14 different colors. Oh. So there's some associative memory. You know, in my case, I know that if it's a green slider, it's always going to be exposure.
Yeah.
But more prescriptive than that as well, we also allow you to use one of your palette buttons to pull up a preview on screen, just a momentary preview. So if you've forgotten what, for example, one of your dials and one of your sliders does, you just hold down this button, it pops up an overlay of your kit with the function of each module. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you let go, you're back to your work.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want you to have to take your eyes off your work. Sorry.
No. Okay. Do you have a recommendation for, I know I am very big on videos, YouTube videos, but do you have a link on your website that people can go not only check out your equipment, your what you have for sale, but also check out what it does and hopefully in some kind of a vein of something that we would do, either real estate photography or architectural or event photography or something like that, where we could see a good tutorial from one of your users or from one of your PR people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've built a number of more general purpose tutorials in-house. I will say that I do have one on using our sliders for perspective corrections. So correcting your verticals, your Perfect. Horizontals, and straightening your horizons. And I think that would be very relevant to what you guys do and what your listeners do. But beyond that, on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/paletteui, or you can just access it off of our site, paletgear.com. If you go there, we also repost a number of tutorials made by real life palette users that have wanted to share tips as well as press reviews and such. And they really get into the kind of the meat and potatoes of a typical pro photographer's workflow.
And where, because I'm on your website right now, and I know that some of the listeners are going to be going to paletgear.com. Where on your website do you find those tutorials? Where would it be under?
I believe they'll be linked in the footer.
Oh, gotcha.
So if you go to the footer, yeah, social, and there's a link right to our YouTube
gotcha.
Channel.
Gotcha. Thank you. Okay. Wonderful.
Huh. Andy, let me ask you a question that I've been wondering. I'm looking at the palette setup, and like I said, I do have the palette gear, but I think I have maybe three modules. It's whatever you offered 3+ years ago the most basic kit. So the truth is probably not enough for my workflow. I probably need to buy more modules and kind of build something up again. But that being said, if our user is using Lightroom, if our listener is using Lightroom probably 80% of the time, and as everyone knows, Lightroom is full of sliders, what is the difference between using a slider versus a dial in Palette, and what would be more beneficial to them if they had to go out and purchase?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say as far as the slider versus the dial, fundamentally, they do the same thing of increasing or decreasing a incremental adjustment in Lightroom. Where kind of the fundamental difference of the two happens is when you're moving between images and when you're resetting your adjustments. So I would say for things where you make small iterative changes image to image, say for example, you've taken photos handheld and you're straightening the horizon on them, that would be an area where the slider really excels, because for each image, it's going to need a small tweak and you're going to be able to take advantage of the long slider travel for that really precise tactility. For a dial, I might use it for something like, say, for example, a white balance, where it's set it and then sync to the rest of your images. I may also use it for something where I'm making quick resets and large adjustments to try something out. So whether it's the HSL panel, vibrance, clarity, sharpening, noise reduction, so on and so forth.
Yep. And what's a button do? How's buttons, that fit in there?
Yeah, that's a great question. The buttons, well, they go beyond what you can do with keyboard shortcuts. They're hooked directly into the software. And, you know, that sounds like a small point, but it really is powerful in use because you can do things like assign them to a specific single preset. You can use them to audition presets, so go between each one in a folder. And I find that's really powerful. Say, for example, you use presets for your technical image corrections, like adding upright mode, for example, or flattening out your histogram. It's great for that. The other thing they're great for is culling and switching between views in Lightroom.
Hmm. I gotta see it. I gotta try it. I love the idea, though. I think it's something that appeals to me because we are, as you know, and all of our listeners know, we're creatures of repetitive motion and doing the same thing. And if you can save, and I always teach people or tell people that time saving is 1 second per at a time, and it's 1 second on 1 second on 1 second. And if you can save 30 seconds or a minute or two per shoot, that adds up in a year. So that's where I'm at. And if this could help, I'm certainly looking forward to trying it.
Absolutely.
Is the push button, the dial, I'm sorry, is that a push button dial also?
You've got it. Yeah, when you press it down, it resets its adjustment. And if you press and turn it, it's a very coarse adjustment. Whereas when you just turn it normally, it's very fine and precise.
So each dial has three functions ultimately.
You got it.
Which is great. So, you know, for someone using Lightroom, then based off what you're saying, the dials are definitely better for those sliders than the actual slider.
I mean, the dials are our most versatile module. There's mm-hmm. some certain appeal about using the slider because it has that physical travel to it. You know, it's very reminiscent of a mixing board, so they have a lot of charm to them. And, you know, I think they're worthwhile to have a couple in a kit, but the dial is definitely the most versatile module for most adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And can you push down the slider knob, or is that just the slider? Okay,
gotcha. It is like an audio mixing board mm-hmm. style 60mm slider, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question, Andy, and I guess I'm curious how intuitive this device is. So I'm going to give you a practical example, or, you know, how it would work perfect for me. And I'm curious as to if this is possible. Let's say I have a bunch of dials set for exposure, brightness, and shadows in Lightroom. And then I have a button that's set to open my adjustment brush in Lightroom. If I had the adjustment brush open, will that same exposure dial then create exposure settings for the adjustment brush, or is it only solely on the, you know, in their basic drop down for exposure? So
oh,
what I'm saying,
so is it
intuitive to know that, okay, I push the adjustment brush button, my adjustment brush is open, so now when I adjust exposure, it has to affect just the adjustment brush?
I can appreciate this 100%, and this is an incredibly topical and relevant question to us at Palette, because we actually just built this feature. Context sensitivity is absolutely now introduced in Lightroom. So for example, when you open up an adjustment brush, a gradient, a radial mask, whatever, all your basic panel adjustments are automatically going to apply to the local adjustment.
Nice. So that right there, I see that as being one of the biggest time savers. Because if I open the adjustment brush and then had to use all my sliders that are already assigned to something else, and then had to go back to the mouse and start adjusting again, you know, you lose some time. But if I can have a button right next to my sliders for adjustment brush and then start going from there, obviously with the mouse, you still have to brush in wherever you want. But that's pretty big that, you know, it can realize that intuitively.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I mean, that's an area where our product development was driven by demand, and it was driven by the creative pros that are using it every day. Because the old behavior was that there were two separate functions. You could have local exposure or you could have basic exposure. But ultimately, it only took a couple very passionate users to make the point to us of, you know, you already know what's going on in Lightroom through your plugin. You already can control both of these functions. Why not just build them into one thing that's context sensitive? So, and that's, you know, it touches on the point of having a very simple hardware device with very powerful software behind it. is from the product that you purchased in probably 2015, Brian, the capabilities have grown 3 or 4 fold, even though the hardware fundamentally is the same.
And this is all reverse engineered, is able to work with the beginning, and is what Brian bought able to move into what's going on today? Are these upgrades, and do you have like firmware upgrades, or where are you at with that?
Yeah, we push regular free software updates and the occasional firmware update when we can't do exactly what we need to in software. So we're constantly updating all existing kits. I mean, our thing is that we want to support the people who invested in us earliest, of course, but we always want as many of our users as possible to be using the newest and best features.
Cool. Now, does the palette also know if you're switching softwares, for instance, from Lightroom to Photoshop and all that? It'll know and it'll change your buttons and your palette accordingly?
Absolutely. Yep. So as you move between programs, as long as you have a corresponding profile for the program that you're moving to, Palette is going to switch profiles automatically.
Yeah. And it's probably similar to my Logitech mouse, which when I go into Photoshop, it has functions that work automatically in Photoshop.
You've got it. Yeah. Just like a Wacom tablet, just like many of the, deluxe mice out there, you know, Shuttle Pro, whatever, all these devices, they're going to move around so that they are context sensitive and application specific. Yeah. Now, that was a big thing for us is we want you to be able to keep to your current workflow. Don't have to go back to our app to switch things around. We'll just follow along. We'll support.
That's great, because I can see a situation where, let's say I have two buttons and I assign one button for Lightroom to open that image in Photoshop. And then when it intuitively goes to Photoshop, I have that same button set to do Command S, which saves it back to Lightroom. So you can literally do the whole seamless, go from Lightroom to Photoshop back to Lightroom without really having to touch the keyboard at that point.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Because that's, you know, that's a case where we can provide value to creative editing through some automation. It's just like in Photoshop, if you have a slider that's set up for an adjustment layer, and you don't have that adjustment layer, it doesn't exist in your document yet, as soon as you start moving that slider, it's actually going to create that adjustment layer for you. So we've come up with a whole bunch of little ways that, you know, like to your point, Rich, where you save a second here, a second there, and that really adds up.
Oh yeah, I'm just mentioning again the my Logitech mouse. It's just amazing. It just is really, when you program these little buttons, just saves your, you know, we're so hands-on all the time. It's like we use geared heads for our tripods, and I spend so much time moving these little knobs and things that it's worth spending that little extra time and money and getting the products that you need to fill in the areas, because it may just seem like it's not going to make that big of a difference. But after a year, you just look back going, oh, it's just made my life so much easier. And all these things like this, what you offer just are wonderful for photographers. And I wanted to ask you also, if I don't know if you can tell us or not, but what is Palette Gear's plan in the future? Are you just kind of like going to stay with this thing that you have produced and make it better? Or do you have ideas? You don't have to tell us what the ideas are, but do you think you're going to be branching out into other designs and other features?
Well, in short, I can tell you that we are absolutely going to be looking at other options for hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say that, you know, everyone out there that has a kit is now worried, well, do I have to replace my kit?
Yeah.
And what I can tell you proactively is that there are a lot of things that you can do with magnetically connected modules. So we can build things that are backwards and forwards compatible, leverage the work that we've already done, but bring it into new spaces. Because the ultimate goal is to create that ultimate editing console. And if we decide that another type of hardware input is required for that, of course, we're going to bring that to market. But we're going to do that wherever possible in a way that serves our existing customers, as well as customers moving forward.
Cool.
Yeah, I want to touch, Andy, on Photoshop a little, because I know we spoke a bit about Lightroom and all the functionalities, but what can you tell us what you see the most common functionality people use these dials and buttons and sliders for in Photoshop?
Absolutely. So I will say we are amazing at brush controls, and that is probably the biggest biggest piece of positive feedback that I hear from every single person that uses Palette with Photoshop heavily. We are great with brushes because we're bypassing keyboard shortcuts, so you can be very precise. You know, it has acceleration, so if you make a very quick turn, your brush size, your brush hardness goes from one extreme to the other very quickly, whereas you can just dial in very, very precise little adjustments. And we have hooks into the brush brush dynamics and brush attributes that don't exist with, to my knowledge, any other controller. So it's not just size and hardness, it's flow, it's opacity, rotation. And that's without even getting into, you know, the complex brushes. But just in the context of a photography, you know, retouching workflow, you may have, you know, you have pressure on your Wacom stylus if you decide to use a Wacom stylus. But you can have with three dials, flow, hardness, and size. And having those three attributes right under your fingertips is really, really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
touched on...
Go ahead.
Sorry. I touched on before as well the adjustment layers, and I would say that that's another thing that we're very good at. And we're good at that because it's a natural transition from Lightroom. You're going from, you know, adjusting the actual look and tonality of the image in Lightroom to the same thing in Photoshop, and we make all those adjustment layers automatically.
Mm-hmm. I know personally that one thing I'm sitting here and trying to envision your product and what it can do, and then how can it make work for me? And one thing I immediately am looking at is one thing I can always use help with is to switch between flow, and because I'm normally at a 6-8% flow, and then sometimes I want to be at 100% flow, and sometimes want to be at 20% flow, and then I want to be at 4% flow. So for me to switch to those things, that would be really, really beneficial. And I know there's other ways of doing it, but it's so funny, after all these years I still don't do the other shortcuts. So I would think that this way of a tactile thing besides my mouse, it would help me and make me more apt to use that shortcut. So I'm really looking forward to trying that.
Yeah, so I would say that as creative editors, we're looking for the fastest way from point A to point B. And I would say that as well, anything that allows you to kind of stay in your flow state and concentrate on your work and not the technical aspects of it and just kind of edit by feel is going to not only make a difference in terms of time spent, but may also, and you'll try new things and end up with better looking edits.
Mm-hmm.
And you can assign buttons to actions or anything like that. You can kind of do it. It's almost like a free-for-all.
Oh, you got it. You got it. Buttons for actions is absolutely a favorite. I personally use it a lot for luminosity masking, as well as we have a lot of portrait photographers that are using it for frequency separation, because it's just, you know, when you're using it on pretty much every image, you might as well have it on a big arcade style button on your desk.
No, sure. And then also, I think the ability, what I use a lot is the ability to scrub through layers. I don't know if that's an option with a dial or something like that.
But that'd absolutely. Yeah, not only can you do that with a dial, but if you're always going to your base layer, or always going to your top, always grouping, etc., you can do those quick actions with buttons as well. And it's really powerful for that.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. That's awesome. I'm looking at your website now, and I'm seeing that obviously, besides being able to offer each individual palette, you know, as a add-on, if you want to call it that, you also sell built together kits already. You want to tell us about the different kits you guys offer?
For sure, for sure. Yeah, so how it works is you would purchase one of three basic kits to get started. We have our starter kit with two buttons, a dial, and a slider.
I think that's what I have.
We have our expert kit with two buttons, three dials, and two sliders. And then we have our largest kit, the professional, and it's four buttons, six dials, and four sliders. And the only difference is the quantity of controls. Everything is equally capable. It's just the amount of modules you want at your fingertips at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And after you've purchased a base kit, you can always add on afterwards, or you can create your custom layout just right there in the shopping cart first time around.
So like you said before, you sell the core brain individually also, if somebody wants to just build their own package from start?
We generally just sell the three kits to start.
Okay.
However, if in special cases, we do offer one-off orders.
Okay, so you would have to buy even the most basic, a starter kit, and then just start building from there. So for instance, let's say I decided I want to use all dials. I want nothing else. I'd have to buy the starter kit and then just add on all as many dials as I needed.
That's correct for the most part. Yeah. And one piece of feedback that we have heard from a lot of users where they've gone into it wanting specifically a number of one module is that they've found the appeal in the whole package together. But just to say, we are flexible, and wherever possible, we'll offer a custom order. In general, though, it's just the base 3 starter, expert, and professional.
And now you have a Capture One kit, it looks like.
That's correct. Now, this is a limited time, limited quantity kit, kind of to celebrate the start of the new Capture One integration. And how we actually came upon this layout of the kit is that we sent out Palette to a bunch of Capture One experts, had them beta test the integration, and then we kind of surveyed them. What do you really need to get through your editing day? Not your dream kit, not the smallest possible kit that you can work with, something that's going to be a great happy medium, sit on your desk, and you'll want for nothing more on a day-to-day basis. And we arrived at the 4 buttons, 4 dials, 2 sliders.
And I'm assuming this is both Mac and Windows compatible, so it's not an issue for anybody who's working on different operating
systems. You've got it. You've got it. The only caveat is Capture One integration is by far the best on macOS right now. Because of a specific difference in the 2 releases of Capture One, every other, like Adobe, for example, is completely cross-platform. Our app is completely cross-platform.
Sure. And if somebody wants to purchase this, obviously, besides your website, you know, you have a ton of retailers, I guess, throughout the US that they can purchase it, or throughout the world for that matter.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking to kind of the local areas where you guys are from, I can say we're in Adorama, B&H, and Sammy's. Besides that, on our website, if you go to where to buy in the footer, you can see that we have dozens of retailers across the world. I wish I had a specific number for you, but it's a pretty exhaustive list. So it's not hard to get it wherever you are geographically. We do, yeah, we ship worldwide from our store as well.
What about Australia? I don't see Australia there.
Australia is a little bit underrepresented in terms of retailers.
They're the bastard child of the photography world down there. I feel really bad for our Australian listeners.
Hey, as a Canadian, I have an affinity for them because they're a fellow Commonwealth country, right? But we do ship to them, and for an incredibly reasonable rate, actually, considering that they're completely around the globe from us. So they're served by our online store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's just amazing how much they have to pay for certain things. And what about Africa?
Africa, once again, our online store.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. No, it's great to see. It's just that your business is touching people all over the world. And we all kind of have the same thing in common. That's great.
It's crazy. We did a look at our online store, and we've shipped to 76 countries just in the last year alone. I'm sure we'd be well into the triple digits if we count since Kickstarter era. So, you know, it's amazing.
Because I will tell you, as an administrator of more than I'd like to comment on Facebook groups, I find that Australia has some of the most real estate photographers there, and it's great just touching base with people from all over the world, and they're always just kind of like, you guys in America, you have such a, it's so easy to get stuff and no taxes and this and that, and it's cost me this to get, it's just crazy. Well, but
you know what? If any of them feel inspired to share their favorite retailers with us, we will have a look. I mean, we're always looking at growing. That's kind of we're a small young company, and we're looking to expand wherever possible.
And apologize.
So if anyone wants,
go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
If anyone wants to jump in with a suggestion for their favorite Australian retailer, we're all ears.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful.
And I know, Andy, you before we started recording, and you said you were able to make an offer for some of our listeners. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to that point about getting Palette in places where it might be a little more difficult to find a retailer, one thing we do periodically is offer for partners, you know, like Shooting Spaces, we can offer a free shipping coupon that really takes the sting out of moving the kits internationally. So we'd be happy to offer one of those. And you can use that at checkout on our online store just by inputting Shooting Spaces 2019. That's all lowercase, and then the numbers 2019. into the checkout, and you'll get free worldwide shipping with very, very few exceptions. Besides that, I mean, you can find us at B&H, Adorama, Amazon as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's awesome. And that's very generous, I'm sure. Or I'm hoping that you have, we have a lot of listeners that take advantage of that. As we run out of time, let me ask you one more question, because I know you mentioned it when we started recording, and I just saw it on your website, and that is about community. I know you said that you push for community and there's a lot of sharing among kids. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? And if, is it via Facebook? How do you get this community going? And if some of our listeners want to learn more about it, can they join this, this community and see what you have to offer?
Absolutely. One of the initiatives that I spearheaded at Pallet was to make a community forum that's hosted on our site. Because One thing that I found was that there were lots of discussions around using Pallet kits across the net, but there wasn't really a centralized hub for discourse. So that was one thing that we were very proud to introduce just a short while ago. And the other aspect of it that we host on our site is profile sharing. So in Pallet app, you can actually click a single button just to share your profile out, and it will upload it to a specific board on this community forum. And then it can be downloaded and used by anyone that visits. So let's say, for example, you cook up a great Photoshop profile, you can share it with the world, and it's instantly hosted on our forum.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now, and just for our listeners, there are some uploads that people have uploaded for architectural photography and some other things. So it might make things a little easier and quicker if you go in and you can just download a profile, I guess, that someone else has already created.
Absolutely. I mean, it really takes that time from out of the box to the aha moment where you're just editing faster, smoother, you know, just better than you have before. It really cuts down that time. And if you can share with like-minded photographers, you know, whether it be real estate or any other discipline, I think that's really powerful, because we ship with profiles and we take our best guess at what your workflow looks like, but no one's going to know it better than your colleagues.
Well, I'm certainly going to look forward to trying this, and I would love to do a video for my YouTube channel and all my subscribers, and you know, give a thumbs up to this is making my workflow work a lot easier. So we'll look forward to that in this year, in 2019.
And Andy, do you want to just share your website URL and maybe an email address or any social handles if you want people to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can find us at palettegear.com. Social, we are palettegear everywhere, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. And if you have any questions, just reach out to us privately at support@palettegear.com, or that community forum that I mentioned is a great place. You'll get an answer from a fellow Pallet user, from one of us, or likely both.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Andy, we want to thank you for coming on. I know we've been in touch since Photo Plus, and it was you know, good that we were finally able to get you on and get this going. And I'm looking forward to taking my Pallet out of my closet and start using it again and purchasing some more modules.
Right on. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. I want to hear some feedback about our newest features. And thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, we have a very, very small niche community of real estate photographers, but I will say they're some of the most passionate photographers, and we're all gear gaga about gear. And if we find something that really works and makes our life easier, we love spreading the information. So that's what it's all about.
Brilliant. Well, fingers crossed that Pallet is that next killer piece of gear for you guys. I think it will be.
Awesome. Man, thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Okay. Brian, why don't you take us out, man?
Yeah, thank everyone. Thank you, Andy, and thank everyone for listening. Just remember, leave a review. Subscribe to our newsletter. We're sending out a lot of emails now with updates on our episodes, as well as our new website with all our new blog posts. Hopefully you're liking it, shootingspaces.net. We have tons of different things coming out in that regard, as far as articles, tutorials, and everything else. So definitely go and subscribe to our newsletter and follow us on social. You know where you can find us.
And ask the guys. We need all of you out there. We want to have a big push for this year, 2019. We want to have people sending us, go on our website, push the button, record your 90-second question, and we'll either answer it ourselves or get a real top pro in the business to come and answer the question. And you can plug your business and say what you'd like to say. And please do that.
Well, on that note, Rich, I got a few emails over the last 2 weeks with different podcast episode ideas, and mm-hmm. I responded to all of them to just ask a question about your idea, and we'll answer it. So don't send us podcast ideas via email. Just submit a question, and we'll get to it.
It's super easy and really is a great feature and helps us out because we want some good good material that is pertinent to you. And if it's a good question for you, it's probably a good question for a lot of other people out there. So I just want to say thank you. And again, 2019 is going to rock. We're all doing great. Check out everything we're offering, and you go out there and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.